Well, you're all invited to our next fellowship meal in Italy. Thank you so much. It's a real privilege. It's an honor to be introduced as a pastor by your pastor, because rightly so, I do recall those early days and that relationship built, and looking at your own pastor as a model, so grateful for men of God and how the Lord used such men to influence my own life and in terms of stepping stones to future ministry. And so it is a real honor to be worshiping with you today and in addition, preaching the word and being again introduced like that by Pastor Bob, and just being alongside you for these 11 years. And of course, I'm so grateful for you as a church, beyond Pastor Bob and the leadership, and of course to my California mom, Jan, who always opens her home to me, and I'm so grateful and dearly love as an example in the Lord. And so I am so thankful to be with you. In terms of the video or the slideshow, you've seen basically the gist of ministry and life and ministries with regards to our family and with regards to our church and with regards to our academy. And it's so hard to simply summarize in terms of a few words, but I would just encourage you to keep on praying as an update, to keep on praying, particularly for our family as we manage growing children and manage them on the mission field, which has its additional significant challenges in terms of just the demands of the ministry still being so pioneer. And so I ask you to pray for our family and for our children, their growth, their salvation. And I ask you to pray for our church, for strong families as we continue to shepherd. And in terms of our academy, I ask you to pray for men that will be influencing the church through the preaching of the word and the teaching of the word, and alongside that with a holy lives that can come alongside the flock and love them and shepherd them. We need this, and this is so rare, so to speak, in Italy. And so I ask you to pray for these requests as you think of us. Well, this morning I'd like you to turn to John chapter 15, and our passage this morning is situated in verses 12 through 17. I'm so grateful for Pastor Bob's introduction, and specifically in terms of the Lord's Supper this morning and his thoughts from 1 John on the subject of love, because that is exactly what we will be talking about this morning. John chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. Please follow along as I read God's word for us. "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another." Love is, as I'm sure you're familiar with, one of the most popular subjects in the world to talk about. Love is the simplest, we could say, of subjects in the world to talk about, theoretically, generally speaking. Simple to understand, so that even a toddler and children can be made to comprehend it. And yet, as you know, having said that, love is also the most difficult subject in all the world to do, to apply. and hence to understand even prior to applying. It's hard to love, simply put. Jesus' 11 disciples, the remaining disciples in our historical context, as we look at the Gospel of John at this point in John chapter 15, are slowly coming to terms with this reality. Since John chapter 13, they've been challenged by what true love is, actually is, and how true love behaves by virtue of what it is. Love washes feet, metaphorically speaking. Love washes feet, metaphorically speaking. This is what we learn from Jesus' example, literal foot washing, as you know. In chapter 13, Jesus illustrates by example, chapter 13, verse 15, as we look at the context wherein which our passage is situated this morning, love in action along with humility present in this action as he transitions from eating with the disciples during the Last Supper to washing their feet, the Lord signals the sacrificial nature of love beyond its humility. As he washes the feet of his own. A task, as you can recall, that his own are shocked or astounded by. And even refuse to receive. Peter initially demonstrates this clearly in verse 8 when he says, "Never shall you wash my feet." A true love, we could say, must love. It is divinely designed to love. It produces love in those loved, sent to love one's own, to those saved by love, from the love of the Father for the Son. "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me," Jesus will reply to Peter in verse 8 once more. This is not a human work, in other words. This is not something that is human, a human love. Not just anyone can produce this kind of love or love like this. The bond that love joins, or that joins love, is that joins love together, is spiritual, reflective of the salvation, eternal life present between Father, Son, Spirit, and disciples. Hence, it is love coming forth from only those who have been chosen by the Father and given to the Son. "I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word," Jesus will pray in John chapter 17, verse 6, concerning his disciples. This love continues to reveal itself as love that purges, that purifies. Judas the betrayer will be expelled by this love. John chapter 13, verses 18 through 30 continue the theme of love and the nature of love. Judas will leave the Last Supper and the 12 definitively and most tragically, revealing himself never truly having been loved, chosen by true love, and hence unable to remain among those loved, unable to love, being still of the world. Judas hates, just like the world. His hate, as you know, will lead him to offer Jesus up to the Jews and Romans to be killed. And yet love, true divine love from the Father and the Son, is the love commanded and hence demanded by Jesus from his disciples. It is love that reveals itself loved when involved in visibly showing love for one another. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35 conclude like this. The believer must love because his Lord loved him, her, by giving his own life as a substitute for them, as Jesus will allude to in our own passage in verse 13 of John 15, as we will comment on shortly. The standard is very high. And very convicting for us as his sheep, as his own, as we're confronted with true love and the nature of love and the expectation of this love. Love as taught and revealed thus far by our Lord in John chapter 13, or from John chapter 13 onward, is simply heightened as a theme of instruction in our chapter, John 15, as we arrive at John 15. As the Lord draws closer to his hour of death on the cross, as he prepares his own for his departure from the world and back to the Father, as you know. In his absence, physical, bodily absence from the world, the disciples must love one another. They must love one another. This will indicate his presence still in the world through his own, through the love of his own for one another. Verse 12 of chapter 15 of our passage will command this love, as we just read. That you love one another, Jesus will say to his own. Once again, the remaining 11 disciples in our historical context, just as I have loved you. Verse 17, the closing verse of our passage in John 15, will reiterate this truth. Our Lord will repeat the love commandment to his disciples, and for his disciples especially, to apply towards one another. This I command you, that you love one another, verse 17. Their mission to spread the name of Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus Christ to all the world, shortly after Jesus departs from them, will be dependent, humanly speaking, on them loving one another as they continue to abide in Christ's love. John chapter 15, verse 9, abide in my love. Acquiring that continual spiritual strength to love, to continue to love one another as Jesus loved them, and through this ultimately showing the love of Christ to the watching world. As we look more carefully at our specific passage this morning, I simply, for the time we have together, I simply want to highlight two principles that our Lord reveals concerning the how-to. The how-to of this high standard, the how-to love one another, the reciprocal love demanded from his own disciples. How does, in other words, the first fruits, as our sermon title indicates, how does or how do the first fruits of this true love apply themselves? How does true love live itself out among the disciples so that it manifests the first fruits of this true love? How do the disciples live out this command? Verses 13 and 14 is where I just want to specifically focus on this morning. Verses 13 and 14 of John 15 will help us through this as our Lord explains what loving one another truly means. Verses 13 and 14 will place before us, by implication, the practice of love. In verse 13, Jesus will highlight the practice of love. And in verse 14, we'll see the priority of love. The priority of love. In verse 13, Jesus will talk about this love laying itself down. Laying itself down for its friends. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends, verse 13. This is love's practice, constant practice. It lays itself down. It lays its own life down for the other, for friends. It is sacrificial by nature, by example. In verse 14, Jesus will add the priority involved in this practice. In other words, the practice of laying one's life down for the other as a sign of love, of being loved, of the first fruits of this true love, is motivated by a priority. Specifically, it will prioritize love for friends. Love for friends. It will precisely practice laying itself down for friends. Jesus' friends. You are my friends, Jesus will emphasize at the beginning of verse 14. This love will practice self-sacrifice, in other words, first and foremost, for those who are not just friends, but exclusive friends, special friends. Friends of Jesus, Jesus' own friends. Those whom Jesus has bought by the sacrifice of his one and only act, redemptive love through the cross. So let's just look at, as we move along, verse 13, the practice of love, and then we'll close with the priority of love this morning. The practice of love, verse 13. Verse 13 draws our attention to the resolve present in love. In the act of loving one another, that one lay down his life, focuses on the resolve to put one's life at stake, to turn one's attention to a task. This task in our context, that is to turn himself to the commitment of risking his life for someone else. It speaks further of bearing something in mind and taking something to heart. At its heart, especially as used by John, it refers to sacrifice. Sacrificing one's life. Isaiah 53:10 echoes in the background here as we recall the familiar words of the prophet. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. Putting him to grief if he would render himself as a guilt offering. Render himself communicates the same idea, that is, of laying down, resolving to lay down, putting himself, setting himself down sacrificially to be crushed by the Father, his Father. The action in Hebrew highlights the object and the circumstances. In other words, Christ rendered himself, offered himself to being slain, crushed. The focus is on Christ and his setting himself to the destiny of the cross, his destiny. Mark 10:45 gives us the New Testament version. Though our specific term, expression, setting down, laying down is absent, the concept is there. For even the Son of Man, as I'm sure you're familiar with Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. The goal of this love, as commanded to the disciples, the goal of this love, its finality, its purpose, its resolve, and hence its practice, is to sacrifice itself for the other, for one another, for friends. The action, furthermore, in our passage in John 15:13, elevates the potential involved and implied in this sacrifice. Put differently, the practice of this love for one another has the potential of leading and growing the love expressed for the other to the point of dying for the other. John, through Jesus' words to his disciples here, expresses the full-blown potential of the love that we've been given. In other words, we can love. We can love like this. We can, by abiding in Christ and the true love we have, reach the standard of love set by God, set by Christ, as exemplified by Christ. This love is divinely designed to love, and as fulfilled through the cross, enabled at loving to the fullest extent, dying for the other, for one another. This is the expectation of this love. As the disciple continues to grow more in love at the practice of loving others, he continues to develop this potential in him. That is to say, the mindset of laying himself down for others, even to the point of death for the other brother in Christ. Perhaps you, Christian believer, perhaps you don't love like this today. You don't love your brother sacrificially or as sacrificially today as commanded by our Lord. Wait, don't be discouraged. We're not to be discouraged. Continue to abide in, depend on Christ's love, and continue to pursue sacrificial love for the brethren. Continue to give yourself to others, and you will see the potential in you by virtue of Christ's love for you grow you in your resolve and practice of giving, even to the point of you being made ready to contemplate the denying of yourself, your life, to the point of death for a brother in Christ. Just a full-blown potential here where the encouragement is, if we're not there today, we will be tomorrow as we depend on Christ and give ourselves and practice giving ourselves. As we move from the practice, we look at the priority of love, verse 14. Having explained the practice of this love, Jesus now moves forward to the priority of this love. Who is this love for? Who am I to love and give myself constantly, striving to give myself? Or better said, to whom is this love to be displayed beyond anyone else? Who has the priority, in other words, in your life? Who are you to love the most besides God and your neighbor, generally speaking? Who is it that specifically must be loved by you? In verse 14, Jesus highlights the priority of friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. At the end of verse 13, the concept of friendship is already brought forth in our passage. Greater love has no one than this, as we read, that one lay down his life for his friends, verse 13. The disciples in this case are not just disciples, but they are now friends, friends of Jesus. Several commentators discuss friendship in the ancient world. The Greco-Roman concept of friendship, in summary, was considered more strategic than affectionate. In other words, friends in the first century, generally speaking, would rarely die for one another, despite the valor, honor, and heroism that the culture itself often associated with death on behalf of country and people, a patriotic death, and death on behalf of a friend, something admittedly rare. The disciples, instead, are friends because of a bond and a tie to Jesus, as expressed by the first part of verse 14. You are my friends. They belong to Jesus. Hence, by implication, their friendship to one another, with one another, is united by a most particular union that will distinguish their friendship from the rest of the world. This is not strategic, nor is it affectionate. It is based on a spiritual bond. It is vertical. It is consistent of the worship that is given to our Lord because of his love for his disciples first and foremost. Once again, we're not looking at mere human affections and relationships. Rather, these friendships are, we could say, predicated on their vertical affections first and foremost, that then descend back down, if you will, in special, exclusive, human, horizontal friendships, relationships. This is a special love for special people. These are the friends whom Jesus will lay down his life for in redemptive sacrifice. The sheep, John 10, that he will give his life for. Their friendship is therefore spiritual in nature and spiritual in priority toward one another. The spiritual affections will take definitive precedence, definite priority over mere carnal and human affections, family affections. It's very hard in Italy. Family is very important. This friendship, moreover, is further bound at the human level by the act of obedience. You are my friends if you do what I command you. End of verse 14. Obedience will be the mark, as you know, of the disciple. Obedience will be the mark of love. Love for one another in Christ. Obedience to Christ's words. Friends, simply put, friends obey. Obey. They obey the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and Master. They obey his word, his words, God's words. Friends will obey is the expectation. Friends, because they are friends, friends of Jesus, will love one another as Jesus commands. This priority, in other words, derived from the practice of love, verse 13, will love obediently. Will love obediently. The friend of Jesus will pursue an obedient love towards his friends, Jesus' friends. This love will love sacrificially and obediently. It will not be characterized principally by sentimental love, although feelings are important and are a part of love. Feelings and emotions, but that will not be their motivation. That will not be the motivation, the primary motivation. Obedience will be the drive here. Obedience will be the drive as I give myself unconditionally. Very hard love. Just like Christ's own example of obedient love to the Father. And so, as we conclude this morning, how is your love this morning? How is its practice? How is its priority? Questions for you, for each of us. Are you practicing this kind of love? Are you prioritizing it towards friends? Your friends in the body of Christ, Jesus' friends. This love demonstrates the presence of Christ, the gospel of Christ, your love towards one another. as we conclude our passage and message this morning, I'd like to invite Pastor Bob to come forward and lead us in a word of prayer.
Thank you, Pastor. Let's pray for that God's word would become real in our life, but let's also pray for Johnny this morning. Lord, so thankful for a man who loves you, serves you, has given his life for you, placed his family in a position where they can be examples of the love of Christ. And as we go from here, let us understand the greatness, the practicality of loving one another, the command to love one another. Let that be a hallmark of our church and desire as we grow. I ask for your grace in the ministry of Johnny and his team. We look forward to just seeing through the years what will happen as the gospel is spread throughout Italy with pastors who love you and love the flock entrusted to their care. Thanks for our time together, for the reminders of who we are and because of what Jesus Christ has done for us and the great love of the Father who has ministered to us. Look forward now to just a time of fellowship together, and we thank you for our time in Jesus' name. Amen. Johnny's going to be around in between, and just say hello. Get to know him. It would be a good thing. You are dismissed.